It's the Rule of Threes podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Casey Lawrence.
And one of us is going to eat a bag of crows.
That's how I described it. Yeah. I mean, I almost
said bag of crows, birds.
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically, like, where does the phrase come from when you eat crow, right? Is it because crow is a
crow
meat
pie
that isn't good?
Yeah, maybe so.
Because nothing good happened from my end on the
prediction side. Not a lot great happened from my end, except that we just watched the Warriors defeat the Pelicans to take a 3-1 lead, which I'm happy about. Let's get into the things you're sad about.
Here's the thing. First thing I want to shout out, my buddy Chris, who listens to the podcast, just had a baby. He's a daddy. Here's the thing. I have to admit, I have a daddy too. And his name is LeBron.
Oh my God.
LeBron owns me. LeBron owns me. LeBron owns Toronto. LeBron is daddy in the NBA. That's just the truth. It's hard to admit.
Well, let's get back to everyone in 10 days and see if this is still true. because this is what so you're sad, obviously, because the Raptors have laid down.
They have just, and it doesn't even feel like they've laid down as much as they've been conquered. Right?
I just think he's in their heads.
He 100%.
They are, I know this is insane that they're down 3-0. They're a better team than them.
Oh, yes.
They're a better team than the Cavaliers.
We make our decisions based on who we think is the better team, and we still think the Raptors are a better team.
Yes.
It just is so, so full of LeBron this series.
Well, this is what I will just say. I fucking hate the entire Eastern Conference. The JV league of the NBA.
Okay.
Everybody take your ball and go home. Eliminate all 8 teams on that side of the bracket. Okay. None of you have any business stacking up against anyone on the Western side.
Okay.
It makes me so sad every year that there are like 3 or 4 great teams on the Western side, and only one of them gets to be in the finals.
Yeah.
When I would say the top 5 teams on the Western Conference would win the finals this year.
Yeah.
And this year is especially, I'm so annoyed with the whole Eastern Conference because of, I think it's going to be, we're all going to lay down and LeBron's going to make the finals again, because I think that he's going to beat the Celtics.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in a Cavs Celtics, you know, rematch, I guess, with 2 teams that are completely fucking different, that have the only player on both teams from last year is like Kevin Love and LeBron and Marcus Smart, you know, like Jaylen Brown was playing a little, but he wasn't nearly as good as he is now. Horford was around, but like,
I'm just annoyed in a league that's full of the Kevin Durant. Oh, he took the hardest road bullshit stuff.
Yeah.
It's not in LeBron's control, but like the fact that we're going to go on and on about how he makes the finals over and over and over, and he's playing these scrubs. He's going to be up against the Celtics without Kyrie and without Gordon Hayward.
Yes.
So I'm just annoyed with all of them, because what happens is I end up rooting for teams like the Raptors.
Yeah.
And
ooh, and they'll rip your heart out.
And I'll combine that with the fact that I'll take, put in the trash, get another trash can, separately put all of the Eastern Conference defenses in.
Okay. So we've got a lot of trash cans. We got to contact the city.
We have one trash can for your takes.
Okay. Yes.
We have one trash can for the Eastern Conference in general.
Okay. Great.
We have another trash can for the defenses of the Eastern Conference.
Yes. All right.
Because when you watch the Western versus the Eastern Conference games, like especially teams like, I would say, except for the Celtics.
Okay.
You can see them playing decent team defense, but there are so many, just like, even I only watched basically the last quarter or so of the Cavaliers Raptors game.
Yeah,
but in a tight game where the Raptors have fought back to get back with,
because
they were way
they
down.
Fought back. It was it was a tight game. You know, it was a huge comeback from them. They're still fighting. It's not like they're
still
not fighting,
but they still gave up some horrific defensive possessions.
Yeah.
Where there was one where I was just so annoyed, where Kyle Lowry decided to pressure J.R. Smith from like half court to no avail. He's much smaller. He's not going to steal the ball from him. J.R. Smith just goes around him, drives. J.R. Smith could have just dunked it himself.
Okay.
Passed it to, I think, LeBron who or Love, who passed it to Korver, who hit a three-point shot. And it was just like, why are you giving up this penetration?
Yeah.
Just for this ego of, like, I'm really pressuring him from the half-court line. Yeah. So anyway, that's just a micro. I hate the whole Eastern Conference. They all should. I'm going to get a trash can for each team separately.
Okay. All right. So I guess we've got a lot of trash to take out this week. And, I mean, how could anyone have seen any of that coming? Any of the both either of these series going 3-0 in this way?
Well, what's depressing is people did think that about the Raptors, that they'd
fall down.
I think you and I were over. Well, you and I were sort of in the, like, they've gotten over it this year.
X-Files, I want to believe, you know, like,
now I will say that games 1 and 3, they were very close, obviously. Yes, so yes. Really the bounce of a ball a couple of ways and it could be a 2-1 series in favor of the Raptors.
But
so
every year the ball bounces the other way.
Yeah, well, you mean for LeBron?
Yes, yeah. Until
the finals.
And then it's really a ball bouncing scenario. He's 3-4 in the finals, 3-5, something like that.
3-5, you know, if Draymond doesn't get suspended.
if the Warriors don't blow a 3-1 lead in the finals.
Well, so, yes. So my point is that, like, I'm so sick of hearing about him making the finals every year. This is what's for someone who wants to talk about how many finals he's made. What are the great Eastern Conference teams that he has had to go through to get there? Because if you look at the years of, like, Kobe and Tim Duncan,
yeah,
those teams, basically the Spurs and Lakers, just battling it out to get to the finals every year. They had to go through each other almost every single year.
Yeah.
And there are great, great Western Conference finals series that are arguably better than some of the finals.
I mean,
series.
You know, some of those Kings teams from back in
Kings
the day.
Kings teams, Trailblazers teams, Suns teams. Like,
Mavs,
there's a murderer's row of Western Conference teams that anybody who's made the finals on the Western side has had to go through another elite team. There's never been a year on the Western Conference side where it was just like, well, I guess it's just these guys.
I don't know. I guess somebody's forgetting the year that 5 Atlanta Hawks made the All-Star team. You know, I mean, you don't want to. It was the year that they won 61 games. That was
Steve Smith.
It was Korver. It was Horford. It was Korver, Horford, Jeff Teague, Josh Smith.
Oh, and, yes.
There was one more. Korver, Horford, Jeff Teague, Smith, and it wasn't Damari Carroll. That was before Damari Carroll.
It was probably
I can't remember. But
Mookie Blaylock.
Yeah, it was Dominique Wilkins, the human highlight reel, coming to All-Star Weekend, just throwing the dunks.
Well, again, that's a reflection of
it was Paul Millsap.
Probably a weak Eastern Conference year.
I mean,
in terms of All-Stars,
they again got owned by LeBron James, who is the father of every single player born in the Eastern Conference. Every single player.
As we all know, you have to play in the conference that you're born into.
Yes, 100%. You gotta stay
I will
there.
Say he is not going to the Western Conference. I guarantee.
Yeah.
I will jump off of my patio.
what if the Lakers move to Minnesota?
Exactly. That'll happen.
Back to the land of the
There's no way he's going to the Western Conference. There's no way. He's going to go. And okay, there's a couple of narratives now that we have that are potential. That one is great, one I love, one that's going to make a lot of people sad.
Yeah.
The Sixers, who are going to lose the series.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to get swept. I hope they have some pride.
God, I hope. Really, it's been a little sad to watch some rookies fall off in the second round.
Yeah, although it has been fun for the Rookie of the Year conversation, because that's all been voted already.
Yes. I mean, the conversation goes on because the awards aren't announced until that really fun, which we should do a live stream of the NBA Player Awards.
Sure.
Oh, my God. That would be so fun.
But it will be funny because Ben Simmons will win. And he'll probably go out with just an awful series.
Just a miserable series. And, God, I mean, so much credit to the Sixers to the Celtics for shutting him down specifically. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't make him have, you know, 3 bad games in a row by luck. Like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, it's finally the, like, he doesn't have a jump shot chicken coming home to roost.
Yep.
And finally, a coach that game plans for it, just being like, oh yeah, that's a weakness. Or, you know, his game right now as a rookie, he's an incredible player.
Yeah.
But you can game plan against him.
Yep.
So I mean, I wish that the Celtics would have more talent on their roster for the next round, because I think Brad Stevens versus LeBron is a great, great challenge. And honestly, maybe they would do it anyway, but this is the narrative. Sixers are going to lose. So, like, if the Sixers had gotten to the conference finals and beat LeBron or lost to LeBron, it's less palatable for him to go to the Sixers.
Yes.
Now it's like, you guys are clearly young. You clearly need some, you need a veteran to come in here and like raise your game. So I think that's where he's going to end up. That's I'm changing my thing too.
Okay. All right. So I, cause like, I'm pretty sure before we were talking about that, there was no way he was going to the Sixers.
Well, my original pick was, I think he should go to San Antonio.
Yeah.
But I don't, after this, I'm like, there's no way he's leaving. Why would he ever leave the East? So then it's a question of, can you find a destination for him in the East? I don't think he's going to stay at Cleveland.
Yeah. Why not go to Washington, you know, play with Bradley Beal and ship John Wall out of
it? That's a possibility. After that series, I was like, I would keep Bradley Beal. Okay, the other narrative is the Celtics pull it together, beat LeBron, and I mentioned this last time, go to the finals.
Okay.
And next year don't.
Whoa.
With Kyrie and Gordon.
Okay.
That's an incredible, interesting narrative to me.
To think that maybe they're better off without Kyrie. Maybe
I mean, they're not, but it's a very, I like things that are like rife for hot takes.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah. That one would spark about 100 ridiculously long articles on what is going to happen with these two players specifically.
Because
when you're missing the two players on your team who cost the most money, you know, what are you,
and you, if you make the finals without them,
and if you're fine to just do it, that's to me, that's the thing that could make the blogosphere explode.
The one thing that I would like if LeBron went to the Sixers next year would be if it's a full strength Sixers Celtics finals, for the Eastern Conference, then that's interesting, that's fun. I just don't think we've ever seen an interesting Eastern Conference finals in the last whatever. I hate the fact that this Pacers Cavs series is going to be like the most interesting series of that whole half of the bracket.
I completely agree.
What were we going to say?
I'm calling it right now. We're doing a dream trade.
Oh,
all right. Dream trade. And this is not how it's going to work. And we know that. We know how the NBA salary cap works. We know how trades are supposed to work.
Uh-huh.
This is a dream trade. We're looking to trade LeBron right now to the Sixers to have him save their season. Okay? Right? We know it can't happen. This is a trade that will happen only in our dreams. We had a fever dream, and we're trying to figure it out.
Come back from 3-0.
Have him bring the first team in NBA history, right? Back from 3-0.
Okay, how about this? He finishes the Raptors series first.
Okay, all right.
Then he gets traded.
Okay.
Then he brings the Raptors back, and then he has to play on both teams in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right.
And then that'll be his, you know.
Then he'll be sure of going to the finals another consecutive year. But, okay, in this dream trade, who do you trade back? Who goes back to the Cavs in that dream trade, right?
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Yes. You are, I don't know, whoever the GM is.
Yeah.
Because we know it's not Hinkie.
No. It's a Colangelo, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
This offseason ends, but neither team wins the championship. Maybe one goes to the finals this summer. They say straight up, you know, this doesn't work salary cap wise, but straight up Simmons for LeBron.
That's a no.
From the Sixers side?
From the Sixers side.
Whoa.
Yeah, right. That's a no. You don't do that because.
Yeah, because you have
LeBron's only got 20 years left, and Simmons has only got 15 years. I think right now, if you're doing it, you give up Covington, Saric, and
McConnell. McConnell, key piece of any trade.
Yeah, you give up Covington, you give up Saric, and you give up
Redick.
Well, I don't think they'd want Redick back. Right?
I mean,
in this dream trade, just
I mean,
like,
I don't know how
I'm trying to say who do you got to get rid of to like make LeBron fit on that team?
Oh, okay.
And I think it's
definitely Covington.
Covington and Saric together, like that's the LeBron position for them. Mm-hmm. And you know, do you think that team with minus Covington and Saric and plus LeBron in dream trade world would be able to put up a fight and get back from
So
against the Celtics team?
I think that they could. I will be fascinated to see the Cavaliers play the Celtics because my hope is that these Celtics with Brad Stevens are not scared of the Cavaliers.
Okay.
And I know their game plan will be better than Ty Lue's game plan.
Yeah.
You know they're going to get outcoached. So then the question is just like, the Celtics are so volatile because of Tatum and Brown, and like they're not.
And those nights when they can't find the bottom of the bucket,
that,
you know, their defensive intensity is enough. I mean, they got blown out in some of those Bucks games because, you know, on a night when the Bucks can make their shots, they scored too much.
Some of those,
there were a couple
Smart
that were
wasn't
close.
In the series at the beginning.
Yeah, Smart
right?
was not.
He's
in
pretty
the
critical for their defense.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. He's a little bit like a mini Draymond.
That's a good call. Yeah. I like that.
Because he's not super strong on the offensive end either.
No, he's not. But he does things that are smart when he plays on the offensive end. It always feels like he's a little out of control, but then you look at what he does and how the team plays when he's in there. It's like, okay, this makes sense. He makes good passes. He hits shots when you're like, they needed that.
Well,
needed
and it's that. Including the fact that he's one of the worst shooters in NBA history.
Yeah.
So what are some of your other bad takes that you're atoning for?
I think I'm going to have to atone for the Jazz, right? I called the Jazz winning that Houston series.
Oh, I think they got a chance.
There's a chance. But, ooh.
We're going to find out in a couple of hours.
They've looked really bad in both of the losses, right? And they've looked really good in the win when Donovan Mitchell decided that he was going to turn into little Steve Nash.
Well, when he took Kobe's advice.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if you have followed the Jazz forums, but like in the first half, they were like, oh my God, he's doing everything Kobe told him to do.
That's so funny. It's so funny because, we're going to bring it back to Kobe whenever we can. You know, that's the way it rolls.
Well, I will say that watching LeBron hit that bank shot it's like, I kind of know how people felt. There's always, like, if you don't like a player, like the way that I don't like LeBron.
Yeah.
And the way that people hated Kobe.
Yes.
There is this urge to, like, in Kobe's last game when he led that comeback and he scored all those points against the Jazz and ended up in the last, 90 seconds, winning the game.
Yeah.
That is the hater attitude of just being like, well, instead of just being like, that's an incredible last game for Kobe.
Yeah.
It's a signature game for him. It does sort of embody exactly what his career is
so
about.
So much.
And also demonstrates the thing of like, you don't want to think that there's this like, certain people have a certain will that they can just be like, I'm taking over the game now. It's very anathema, I think, to a lot of, I think a lot of it stems from just like when you play pickup basketball, high school, college, or anything organized where it's like you don't like playing with people like that.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't want them to win in a way, or you don't want to believe that they have the ability to just be like, I'm taking it over.
That is true. I mean, you don't want somebody who thinks that they're better than you to prove that they're better than you.
Yeah.
By being better than you. And then you want to see them fail. You want that person to fall on their face because they don't have the humility and the temerity to know, their place. But like, here's the thing. Here's my take on that is fuck that shit. Right. Like if you believe that you're good enough, if you can prove that you're good enough, be that fucking good. And I think that's what Kobe would say. I think Kobe would say that
absolutely.
Is I think Kobe loves LeBron. I think Kobe loves the idea of LeBron, taking over.
I bet
in games.
He does not love LeBron.
It feels to me like Kobe would want to, I feel like Kobe would want to, have the same. I think he would respect LeBron in that way. I think that he would respect that LeBron does whatever he believes is going to make that team win.
And I bet Kobe respects his results.
Uh-huh.
But I bet he doesn't. I bet he sees a lot of squander potential in LeBron. In the sense that I bet if Kobe was like, if I could switch bodies with you, I would never ever lose a finals. because LeBron is more physically talented than Kobe.
Sure shit Kobe would think that. And that's why I think I respect that guy who goes out and says, give me the ball, put me in the place I need to be. I will win you this game.
Yeah. But I will say LeBron has not always been that guy.
No, he has not, but he has been that guy. It's not always right. He's the guy who's like, give me the ball. I will make the decision that will win the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's not give me the ball. I will shoot the shot that will win the game. Like That's how LeBron feels, right?
Yes.
Whatever decision it is, he's going to make that. He's going to believe he can make that decision.
Yes. Just to remind everybody, LeBron's also the guy that when I'm losing a championship series, I'll point out how great my stats are.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
As someone who hates LeBron, this is what makes me feel good, though.
Okay.
Is that in the end, all of these first and second round things, nobody remembers them.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Nobody remember. Like, very few people remember when Chris Paul beat the Spurs in round one of 2015 or something like that. Because it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't
matter. Was at the moment, like, this great triumph of his. It was like he's got the monkey off his back. He's a winner in the playoffs. And now we know he's back to his old tricks, turning the ball over with 10 seconds left or whatever.
Yep, he's back to his old tricks. And they're still leading in their series. And they're not out of the playoffs yet. And you can't count them out.
Yeah, until the next round.
Yeah, I think that when LeBron does the kind of stuff that he's doing in these two series, it's not going to be remembered forever unless he takes them all the way to the finals. And people talk about like this team as the worst team that he's ever brought to the finals because people have been saying that they're worse than that 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Is that the Booby Gibson?
That's Booby Gibson, yeah. Right?
Well, this is what's interesting, too, is like, so we've talked before about how LeBron doesn't really get much fault when they lose. You know, it's always this thing of like his team around him is so bad. And then I think it was the game two game where it was weirdly, again, like LeBron is incredible. Except that Love had like a 31-point game or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it was interesting. Like the narratives didn't really swing to like these guys carried him through the second game. Cause he didn't play that great in the second game.
No, he didn't. He played fine.
So I would say like,
and Love went off.
Depending on how these games go, if Love is pulling a 30-point game every other game.
Yeah.
Until they get to the finals, which he honestly may have to beat the Celtics.
Okay.
Then it's like, how much more of the narrative of like this team around him is really bad if you have a former All-Star?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like if they continue to average less than 20 points, the rest of the team, and he gets to the finals, then they probably are the worst team that he's ever brought there. It's just, I don't know if that will happen against the Celtics.
Yeah.
I don't know what would have to happen to the Celtics for that to occur.
I think it would take, you know, an offensive meltdown from them, because the defensive meltdown, I don't see that coming
from the Celtics.
I don't see it coming.
I think they're too disciplined, and Brad Stevens is too, like, he's too good at correcting them, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't feel like he lets, except for, especially now that Smart's back, I don't feel like you see them defensively go off kilter for like runs at a time.
Yeah. And you'll see every team in the league do that.
Yeah.
Right. Every team give up runs where they look like they're discombobulated, their communication's gone. And it just doesn't feel like it happens to the Celtics. I'm sure that it has, but it feels like it happens either none or very, very less.
So it'll be a question of their offense, which you're not a fan of.
Not a fan.
Against the Cavs defense, which is second worst in the league.
Awful. God, the Cavs defense is so bad. It's so bad. It's so hard to watch them play defense over the course of a game that like there's probably about a quarter's worth of the game where you're like, oh, you know what? They're trying, they're communicating, they're doing the right thing.
Right.
Another quarter of the game, they're not trying, they're not communicating, they're not doing the right thing. And then the other half of the game is somewhere in the middle. They're trying, but they're not communicating. They're communicating, they're not trying. It's still not good. Right. There's like, The Celtics live 75% in that they're trying, they're communicating, and they're doing well. Right? Because the breakdown comes from both like effort and communication and skill.
Yes.
Like all three of those things.
The Cavs have more players that I think when they want to turn it up on defense, they turn up their effort.
Yeah.
Which often leads to like trying too hard to get steals, leading to bad, you know, like bad cuts and stuff like that.
The Russell Westbrook style of defense.
Yeah. I feel like J.R. Smith is real good at that.
Yes.
Jeff Greens are great at that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like given that real pressure on ball and then completely forgetting about it when it goes away.
Which is what Kyle Lowry did last night. Yeah. Oh, it goes back to, I think a lot of this stuff stems from a like junior high. Like, look at me, coach. I'm trying real hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, great.
It's so funny how we're all kind of wired like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel like I'll always try harder when somebody's looking, mm-hmm. you know, that's a,
there are studies done that people wash their hands more often when there is a photo of a person with eyes like in a bathroom.
No way.
Yeah. If we just put up a photo of a person just looking, not necessarily at you, but just a photo of a person's face.
Okay.
People wash their hands more often.
That's crazy. I mean, it makes total sense. That is nuts.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Let's talk Western Conference for a little bit.
Let's talk Western Conference.
The Warriors look great.
I do love watching the Warriors go on runs.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fun. I've talked about it before. There was a play in the game today where Steph Curry was driving down the middle of the lane. Balls up out with Iguodala at the like the top of the three-point line. Not at the top, but like center left.
Mm-hmm.
And Curry's driving down the center of the lane on a cut, and he cuts behind Anthony Davis. His man, Drew, leaves him to like go guard somebody else because he thinks the switch is coming. He runs around behind Rondo, who's guarding Klay Thompson. Klay's at the three-point line, and Iguodala is looking at this play. He's like, Klay, get the fuck out of there, because he saw that Curry was completely away from anybody. Nobody knew where Curry was.
Mm-hmm.
Curry pops out, staying behind Rondo so Rondo can't see him with his eyes. When Klay cuts, Rondo goes away and Curry is wide open. He was wide open from the point that he left underneath the basket to get to the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
It was a magnificent play, and it was like, Drew Holiday fell asleep, Anthony Davis fell asleep, and Rondo fell asleep in a way that was like, oh fuck, they can't compete. They can't compete in this game. And that was the story of this game, was that they couldn't compete. The story of the game earlier, game three, they came out and they hit the Warriors in the mouth with some three-pointers. It was insane how hot they were.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's how high you have to be to, like, knock the Warriors down and keep them down.
Yeah.
Right? They were kept down that entire game. That wasn't close of a game.
Unfortunately, the Pelicans are just not going to be able to sustain that.
No. It's at their peak, they did it. They did it. And that's, like, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Hey, man. hey, man. What?
Good for you.
Yeah, you got it. You got a prize.
Wait, let me jump back to Raptors cast for just one second. Yeah. Because this is what I'm thinking about the Raptors along the lines of something that's not sustainable.
Okay.
I still think that, like, if you played 100 games between the Raptors and Cavaliers, the Raptors would win. And I think that it's not impossible that they win game four or whatever. It's just that similar to the Pelicans, there so many things would have to go right for them to win even two games in that series now.
Yeah.
And it's not a reflection of like the Raptors are better or worse than the Cavaliers. It's just like there's a certain amount of randomness in basketball that like, honestly, that the shot that LeBron made is probably like not a bad shot for them to want him to take.
Yeah,
because that's crazy shot.
He's running at practically full speed.
Yeah.
He's not square to the basket.
He's shooting against his momentum and trying to hit a bank shot.
I think
a lot of teams would take that.
Tip your hat, man.
You know, but a lot of teams would be like, you know what? If that's what he's going to beat us on and that's what our defense ended up doing, that's fine. So I'm just saying that like with the Pelicans, you know, which is what Coach Nick said, which is like whoever wins the 3-point line battle is going to win this series.
Yeah.
And they're just not equipped.
No.
Now that's going to make for an insane Western Conference Finals.
Oh my God.
Which I think is going to be fun. And this is what, you know, as the playoffs progress, the narratives align. It's like, sometimes I don't know who I like more among teams until the playoffs eliminate certain teams.
And, you know, and part of that's because, you know, you get these teams that distract you with shiny stuff like Giannis Antetokounmpo
or Victor Oladipo. Here's the thing. Here's the quandary. I actually have a worry that the Rockets are going to beat the Warriors.
Okay.
Which it's obviously very feasible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, those two teams are equals.
And Curry's not fully back. You can tell.
No.
He's rounding into shape. Today was a good game because he got some time, even in the garbage time part, to just, like, get yourself back.
And his shot looked a little weird at the end of the fourth quarter today. Mm-hmm. It looked like he was doing a little more shot put of his shot than usual. But that's the type of thing that he, like, in the game, he was like, like testing out. He's like, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. I think he'll be fine.
By I think the time he'll be fine, but second, like the third round. Let's say they only have one more game or two. He doesn't have a ton of games left to like it's just this is the highest level of basketball.
Yeah.
There's no way he has his legs under him, and there's so you know what I mean. Like he's not going to be at 100%.
Okay.
So it's feasible that the Warriors lose to the Rockets.
Yeah.
So then, if like things break bad in the East and LeBron walks into the finals again.
Okay.
This is the quandary.
And by walks, do you mean travels?
Yeah. Or lane violates his way there.
Yes. Okay.
Three of my most hated players are going to be in the finals.
James Harden, Chris Paul, and Kyle Korver.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, again, well, we'll say that we'll be happy for Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson.
I mean, it's so great that we're going to get two Lakers championship rings. That's two rings added to a total of 16 rings.
That's right.
That's 18 rings.
But like,
count those rings.
They might be my three most hated players in the league.
Yeah.
Those three.
Yeah.
And minimum one of them will be getting a championship ring. This is why, like, I'm going to have to root for the Celtics. So I have to root for the Celtics.
Oh, my God.
And the Warriors.
The Sixers, you can't even believe in them a little bit.
I mean, they're down 3-0.
They are down 3-0. They're not going to win. That being said, you have just awful choices ahead of you based on your history with basketball, right?
The only choice I have is the Warriors running the table again.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can live with.
And like, that's something that we've come to terms with as California residents who are Lakers fans.
No,
like,
I have no problem with it.
Right. We've come to terms with it. Right. But you know, that's not something that, a Lakers fan should have to be very happy.
Well,
about.
It's timing out in a good way in that the Warriors and the Lakers have never been competitive at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, except maybe Run TMC.
Okay.
I don't remember what Lakers teams they were going up against at the time.
Because that was like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Was that like Nick?
I mean, that's a great team. That's Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, and Chris Mullin, which, like, Mitch Richmond was one of my favorite players from back in the day. And I love Chris Mullin. You know, back Warriors used to have Joe Barely Cares.
Mitch Richmond.
Joe Bear Carroll.
Yes. God, what a contract. Mitch Richmond, famous Laker.
That's right.
Right? Didn't he get a championship with them?
He did, I think, get a ring.
Yeah.
But he didn't, I don't think he played a single minute.
Didn't play
in
very
the
much.
Finals.
Because, yeah, we had Glenn Rice, also famous Laker.
That's right.
Yeah, I think of them a lot, like some of the people who came in, like, as Dodgers at their end of their career.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about baseball that much, but a lot of, like, older like baseball players came in to play for the Dodgers later, like Manny Ramirez and
I didn't know that.
You know, Daryl Strawberry, lots of like older players who like were really good on these great teams and never were able to do anything.
I mean, some
and then
of
they came
it
to the Dodgers
be...
and still didn't do anything.
Well, yeah, but like I think a lot of times people just want to come live in LA for a year.
Yeah, yeah. Part of that is nice. It's nice to get out here. I mean, it's. It's been beautiful out here.
So, yeah, the Warriors, the only way I can be happy this year is if the Royal Warriors run the table.
Okay.
Less good, or honestly, if the Jazz run the table.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to happen.
No, I don't see it.
Or, and then a worse alternative is the Celtics, like a Celtics-Rockets finals, and the Celtics winning, which actually... would probably be something I couldn't root for at this point.
Yeah, you'd root for the Rockets.
I probably would root for the Rockets, yeah. But anyway, Rockets-Cavs, I probably will root for the Rockets.
Wow.
Like, which will put me in a weird position, because if I have to root for James Harden's foul techniques,
okay,
and then they lose,
yeah,
it'll be Jazz Bulls all over again.
Oh, no.
The year that I had to root for Karl Malone.
Oh, no.
And then they failed.
Well...
Okay. I will say I got respect for John Stockton out of that series.
Yeah.
Like rooting for John Stockton for a series.
Jeff Hornacek,
I like.
Mark
coach.
Eaton?
I don't know if he was on that.
Was he not on the team?
This is your Byron Russell.
Poster tag?
Oshertag might have been.
It was Howard Isley. Brian Russell.
Howard Isley.
He's got a weird way of spelling his name. Brian.
I can't remember if it was Brian or. I only know he got pushed out of the way.
Yes.
On a horrible offensive foul.
Yes.
I believe Howard Isley.
Mos Eisley Cantina.
I believe he missed like three layups in a very critical game.
I mean, I know Rajah Bell wasn't on that team, but that feels like a Rajah Bell team.
Yeah. But there was a great play in one of those games where John Stockton, I can't remember if a free throw was made or missed. Might have been missed.
Okay.
He immediately took the ball and just threw it all the way at the end of there. It was like a, you know, like a full court pass to Kevin Malone for a layup that sealed that game.
Nice.
I was like, oh my God, John Stockton has balls.
Yeah.
Like he was.
And you can see them through the bottom of his shorts.
That's right. And that was the kind of thing I'm like, okay, this is, I like rooting for you. That was a ballsy play and you did it.
Yeah.
Karl Malone can rot on his farm pushing that tractor without an agent. Because Karl Malone in that series was like, oh, I'm just going to hold the ball and get it stolen, not recognize when a double team comes and lose the game.
You know, you got to do a couple of jab steps, a couple of pump fakes, you know, fade away from 18. That's offense, baby. That's offense.
Oh God.
That's what we're talking about.
He was the Paul Millsap of his generation.
No, you can't do that to Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap plays great defense.
Well, interesting. Like, you like Paul Millsap more than Karl Malone.
Yes.
But arguably Karl Malone will go down as a, not arguably, he'll go down as a more.
Yes, he'll go down as the better player. Yeah. That's, I'm not, I am a recency bias study case in this one, for sure. Like, I think Paul Millsap is somebody who has done more with his abilities than I think Karl Malone maybe could have done more from his standpoint. But also, Karl Malone is one of the most dominant power forwards of all time.
He feels like somebody who, like, scored 40 points a game in high school because he was built like a tight end and could turn around and hit that little jump, mid-range jump shot.
Yeah.
And then like never felt the need to add any more to his game.
I mean, he was a great rebounder. He was a great rebounder.
He's a great dunker holding his arm behind his head while he dunked. Give me James Worthy any day.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. How does your hierarchy break down in terms of people? Teams potentially making the finals.
Do you dislike
any players left in this playoffs?
From my heart or from my...
Because you like LeBron.
I love LeBron. LeBron's my dad. Have to admit this. This is this episode's title.
I almost tweeted out that I find our society's current need to say who's dad and who is sonning other people to be very creepy.
Yeah. Yes. I am ready to creep out the entire world because LeBron and I are going to go play catch. It's going to be fine.
The other thing is Jason Tatum is my adult son.
Yeah. Yes.
And all of that just gross.
It's tough. I do it all the time. It's the worst.
How do you feel about James Harden and Chris Paul?
I like James Harden. Okay. Right. I respect Chris Paul's desire to win because it consumes him completely.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who is consumed completely by something like that, I think deserves my respect, maybe pity, maybe, you know, sympathy. I don't know. Like, there's something to his need to win and his inability to get it.
I'm actually really torn.
It's tragic.
I'm torn now that you say that because a Rockets-Cavaliers finals, I might root for LeBron because I can live with LeBron's already won championships. Once that seal's broken, it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
But the idea of Chris Paul never winning a championship appeals to me.
that's the hater juice right there.
Being up 8 points with 49 seconds left and just dribbling the ball out of bounds as an elite basketball IQ point guard.
Yeah. That's bad.
Those kind of things make me happy and also make me like, when people are like, he doesn't choke in the playoffs, it's like, well, that's not a good play.
No.
And I loved that the on Reddit, a lot of people were like, they were up 8 with 49 seconds left. Like, they're not going to lose that game. It's not a big deal. And it's like, oh, I can remember a team that was up 7 with 40 seconds left that lost the game because of some bad turnovers by the same player.
Yeah. God, what was his name again? Christopher Paul? Oh, it was Cliff Paul. They put Cliff Paul in the game.
You know, I just like the idea of just being like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I mean, who am I not a fan of? I don't like Jeff Green. You know, I but I don't like have to.
Well, yeah. So you're less of a hater than I am. Like, who are the good players that you don't like?
Yeah.
Because like it's easy to hate. I agree. Like somebody like Jeff, there's players that you watch and you hate them because you're just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
yes. Yes. It's a different kind of hate. I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm less of a hater. I'm somebody who will really just kind of be happy about.
Well, who's stuff left? Like so that. Like, do you dislike anyone on the Jazz?
No, I mean, I love the Jazz. I think they're fun as hell. I mean, like, am I the biggest fan of like, I don't know, Rudy Gobert? I think he's fun to watch.
He's probably my least favorite player on that team. Yeah. I love Ingles.
Yeah, I love Ingles.
I love Rubio.
Yeah.
And I love Donovan.
Donovan Mitchell's great. I'm, you know, I'm very happy with him. I think, you know, it's very fun to watch the Stifle Tower get up there and block a bunch of shots.
Yeah.
And to have him do a rim run. But I like, I don't have any really strong feelings about Gobert other than that. So
it's actually interestingly, it might be a little tough to love those giant players. Like, that's how Embiid sort of break. Embiid,
I mean,
if you took his Twitter away, though, I don't know how much you would love him.
You know, you're talking to the number one Andrew Bynum fan in the entire world.
Oh,
so,
God.
You know, you're talking to somebody,
I mean,
who
you
loves
might
those
need
big
to
players.
Have more hater in you.
Yeah, that's
if you
true.
Like Andrew Bynum that much.
I mean, I probably should. You're talking to somebody who's bought a DJ Banga jersey before.
Hmm.
Right?
And will probably one day own a Mo Bamba.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Jersey.
Are you kidding me? Wherever he goes, I'm the Bamba crew.
Andrew Bynum, wait, who were you saying did the most with it? Paul Millsap has done a lot with his
Paul
physical talents.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
much has Andrew Bynum done with his physical talents?
Oh, it was tough. He did not do as much as
Didn't
he could.
Didn't he hurt himself bowling?
Yes, of course he hurt himself bowling. I've hurt myself bowling, okay? One time I dropped a bowling ball on my foot at a birthday party when
did
I was
you really?
A kid. Yes, I did. And I had to not bowl the rest
were
of the
you
day.
On a multi-million-dollar professional sports contract?
Ah,
at the
you
time?
Know what? That's the difference. That's the difference is that I was not on a multi-million-dollar contract. I was on a minimum contract with the Cavaliers. So, you know, those five-year-old future contracts, they're huge.
You like the Raptors.
I do. I do. I'm fucking mad at them. Like, I'm mad that...
How do you feel about DeMar?
I'm mad at DeMar DeRozan. You know, I put my trust and my faith in my perfect picks record in this postseason with
that's
you.
It's not going to last.
It's not going to last. It's not going to last.
Wait, you might go 1-for-3.
I am probably going to go 1-for-4 in this.
So, DeMar, how many regular season games did you watch?
I would say probably 10.
Do you think that he has been taken out by the Cavs system? Or do you think he's taking himself out? He only shot 12 times.
It's both. It's both. And the reason he only shot 12 times is because he got fucking benched because he was playing like shit.
Yeah.
Right? And it's tough because when your coach trusts other people more than you in a game like that, what does that say about your place on the team? What does it say about your place as a Toronto Raptor all time? Like, he's going to, if he isn't already, he's going to be the number one scorer in Toronto Raptors history.
Yeah, do you think for the team's mental health that you should live and die by him? Let him shoot. Let him go 6-for-24 as opposed to 3-for-12.
6-for-24?
Yeah.
Famous Kobe.
Or 6-for-24, however, with like however many rebounds he had.
Yeah.
13.
What was it like? Kobe got every rebound and he passed it to Meta World Peace to win that game.
That's right. I'm ready to. I'm. By the way, I can defend that game. To the end
yeah.
Of the day.
No. Of course, they won 15-12. A perfect Lakers Celtics Finals defense.
Yeah,
game.
I was gonna say if you go look at that game, look at how every single person in that game shot.
It's
like
awful.
No one
yeah,
shot.
It
well.
Was. I mean, everybody shot poorly because in that part of time in the NBA, the finals were not high scoring affairs. They were punch each other in the face until somebody stops bleeding.
Well, and that was even the era of we're no longer punching each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like that
yes.
era was
yes.
considered soft
yes.
compared to Kurt Rambis being clotheslined.
Yes. Yes.
Or like Magic Johnson, like clotheslining Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. Yes.
After like kissing each other at the tip off.
Why don't we have more clotheslines?
Honestly, I would love that.
You know, like I feel like maybe the last good clothesline was Andrew Bynum on J.J. Barea.
I think that there is some embedded racism in the fact that, like, a sport dominated by African-American players has taken so much fighting out of it when you compare it to baseball and hockey. Like, there is encoded in those sports an allowed amount of fighting that is, like, you see fighting way more in hockey and baseball.
Yes, I am on board with you on this because it feels like they have tried to take away, because, like, here's the thing you don't want to do. You don't want to equate fighting and blackness. Those are the two things that you don't want to equate.
Yeah.
But you do want to say, like, they're being punished for the same things that white dominated sports are, like, not being punished
like
for.
Like the way that the bench is clear in baseball.
Yeah. God, nobody gets suspended.
But the announcers are never like, this is a disgrace. They're just like, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if you watch Malice at the Palace, like, in fairness, they're attacking the crowd.
Yes.
But even when bench is clear in general, like, the way it's been obviously, like, tamped down, because now if you leave the bench, you get suspended unless you're Russell Westbrook.
Yes. And, you know, part of that's, you know, when David Stern implemented a lot of these rules, Stern implemented you got to wear a suit to sit on the bench. You know, and he was tired of people wearing jeans or whatever. They were trying to market the NBA to white middle America, who is a pretty racist.
Yeah.
And in that scenario, they were doing that to, like take away from expression and like police people in ways that the other sports don't police their players.
Yeah, I guess I would like to see the same amount of fighting in basketball that there is in baseball, which is not as much as hockey.
Okay. And
football fights don't really matter because
everybody's wearing pads. Yeah, and like, you got a helmet on. And
like, no one ever.
It's more dangerous to play football than it is to fight.
Yeah, right. The fights. The fights are like a relief.
Yes,
from the game.
It's like, oh, finally something healthy that we can get behind is a fight.
Yeah. This is just to say that, like, I wish that there was more. I love physical games.
Yeah, I understand that. I think part of it is that, like, these guys realize that they're all on the same team in the end, right?
Yes. I think that's true.
That's a big thing, is that so many players nowadays are close with everybody else around the league.
Yes.
Like, the league is a lot friendlier.
Another thing Kobe would hate.
Kobe would hate that. Kobe does. But that's why Kobe's not friends with anybody.
Well, he is now, because he's the elder statesman.
Okay.
I think, as much as I love Kobe, I know that there is also something calculated in the, like, you know, like, Giannis, I'm going to set you this challenge this year because, like, a lot of times I'm like, who asked you? Like, you don't know me.
Yeah. Yes.
But no, I will say one thing that's depressing about basketball that I love to not think about is the fact that they kind of work for the shoe companies first.
Yeah.
And basketball is a way of, like, expressing their marketability.
Yeah.
But like whenever you delve into the amount of like, Kevin Durant saying this player shouldn't go to the University of Maryland because University of Maryland is an Under Armour school, not a Nike school. Like, whenever you get into those weeds of, like, how disgusting those ties are.
That's tangled as hell.
Those really depress me.
Yeah.
But on a less nefarious level, like, I also think in general, people from outside, like, we root for the Lakers.
Yeah.
So we think, like, we're bonded with the Lakers in a way that, like, Lakers players would bond with us and consider us, like, one big family. When actually professional athletes just consider, like, the other athletes their actual family.
Yes.
And on a bigger scale, the other athletes in the other sports. And then on a bigger scale, like, celebrities in general.
Yeah.
You know, like, so a lot of times we think that their alliances or whatever are going to sort of going along with us. And then you see Eric Bledsoe and what's his name?
Rozier.
Hugging.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, there it's the NBA is a brotherhood. And, like, that's something that I believe that everybody who plays in the NBA, no matter what, will try as hard as they can against everybody else. But I think the bad blood isn't there as much as it was.
There are some real bad blood things, but, like, for those are mostly the exception.
Yes, you know, I'm trying to think, like, who's really actually got bad blood? Lance Stevenson and everybody.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right.
But interestingly, like, I wonder what would happen if Lance was on LeBron's team. You know, is it a Kobe and Meta kind of thing?
Yeah. Kobe and Matt Barnes kind of thing.
Yeah. like, yeah, do you, I don't think there's real bad blood between Rondo and Draymond.
No, I think they respect the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
I think that they both think the other one's a little corny, but are also like, you know what, you're good at basketball.
Yeah.
You know, Embiid versus Whiteside. I think that's how, like, those two guys don't like each other. Like, maybe Whiteside doesn't like Embiid.
I don't think Embiid is, after next year, I don't think maybe he's ever going to think about Whiteside again. Yeah,
that's fair. But
it's,
like,
it's up to Whiteside now to revive that. By playing well.
You know, other really bad beefs in the NBA, Chandler Parsons versus every NBA fan. You know, like, that's a huge beef. Every NBA fan hates Chandler Parsons, and every Chandler Parsons hates every NBA fan.
That's right. It's a 1-to-1 ratio.
It's a 1-to-1 ratio. You know, let's talk some fake beefs. Who are the beefs that we would want to see? Who do we want to hate each other?
I would like to see, well, we could use more big man beefs, I think.
Yeah, you think I think a big man beef is good? Who are the big men that are important?
Are there any beefs between
NBA?
Gobert and Capella?
No, because it feels like it's because they're both international guys who you know, have that Europe connection. They got to, like, stick together.
Yeah.
All right, but let's say yeah, the French and the Swiss, like, oh, they're fighting.
Actually, I do. Sorry, this is not a fake beef. I like real beefs when they creep in from, like, like
Dragic versus the machine,
like Serbo-Croatian, yeah, like all of those things where it's like, oh, there's another outside reason why these guys hate each other.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the one you said?
Sasha Vujicic,
yes,
and Goran Dragic hate the shit out of each other, and they're from the same fucking country.
Yeah,
like they hate each other because they're from the same place.
They hate each other, and I don't know why, but it must be some kind of like, our state hates your state. You know what I mean?
Like, it's because of like shit that happened on the national team and at the like national elite level when they were growing up.
Those are the kind of beefs I like.
I like the Kevin Garnett versus every European player ever beef. Those are my favorite beefs because I root against Kevin Garnett.
Against?
Yeah.
I hate Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love those beefs because it's so funny to watch KG just pick on people who don't give a shit about him.
He is the biggest fake tough guy in the entire world.
Guy, I want to like get a hoodie that sticks to the side of my head like he wears in Area 21.
Just the idea of like, I'm going to bully, was it Jose Calderon?
What the fuck?
And not do it well? And like,
Calderon's been around. Like the dude has been around. He knows what's up. Even when he came into the league, he was like, oh, yeah, I know what's up.
Here's another like, I'm going to shift to lame beefs, which is like Jared Dudley versus Ricky Rubio and whatever that rookie's name is that hit him.
God, I don't remember.
It was Josh Jackson? No.
Oh, yes, it was. No, it was the other guy. The guy who's one more year above him, Marquess Chris.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole Suns team is just punks.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe the Suns versus people coming to their games is a beef.
The Suns versus the sport of basketball.
Yeah, the Suns versus
Devin Booker versus defense.
The Suns versus the horrible state of Arizona.
Do they have a new coach yet?
No, they do not. Yes, they do. They hired that. They hired the first Eastern European coach.
Yes. Actually, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
I'm down for that. Yeah. I'm down for Fizdale the Knicks.
Yeah,
I like that.
I want to see some Becky Hammon with the Spurs.
I want to see that too. She's an assistant
Bucks.
With the Spurs.
She interviewed with the Bucks. Yes. I want to see Becky Hammon with the Bucks.
I'm down for that too. First of all, I always think I like new coaching blood.
Yeah.
We're out of this era, but there was an era where it was just like Larry Brown gets to coach every couple of years wherever he feels like it.
Yeah.
Destroy a team and then leave.
Yeah.
While he moralizes about playing the right way.
Yeah.
It just seems like there was a time when coaches would just like, it was just this very small carousel.
Here's the thing though, we have to find teams to get Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy.
Oh God.
So that we can get new announcers.
Well, I was going to say, you just don't want to hear them anymore.
Yeah, no, somebody hire Reggie Miller. Somebody hire Kevin Harlan.
Let's put, Doris Burke in the games, like as a commentator.
Doris Burke forever.
Yeah.
Can we robo clone Doris Burke? And just put her in every stadium.
Have you seen the clip of her playing basketball?
She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been great.
And did we talk about this one? The one of Stan Van Gundy dribbling?
He's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, we have not talked about it, but I love that video.
I'd like to just trade Stan and Jeff. for a couple of years.
All right. I can see that.
Because I love Stan.
Yeah. Stan's just like, ugh.
I mean, even though...
That was my Stan impression.
Just yesterday I watched Stan Van Gundy hates Hedo Turkoglu.
He hates him. He hates him. God, some of those press conferences from those Orlando Magic teams are fucking
the
gold.
The best press conference of all time, which is... Dwight Howard.
With the Pepsi or the cookie or what it was. It was Pepsi.
It's Stan Van Gundy giving... If you haven't seen this, you should watch it.
Yeah.
Stan Van Gundy giving a press conference and they're being like, well, when you say like the Dwight Howard wanted you fired, he's like, I know because the management told me that that's why. Yeah. And then Dwight Howard, oblivious, walks up and he's like... You know, we don't have any problems, do we, coach? It's like the uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, nothing. No problems. Go have some more Skittles, you idiot.
Yeah.
I do like Skittles, though.
We don't normally do this, but I would like to recommend everybody to watch the Childish Gambino video.
Yes.
This is America.
Yes.
It came across my Twitter feed last night at like 1 a.m.
Yeah, because that's like right when it came out.
Is that when it came out?
Yeah, it debuted on us.
So I saw someone tweeting like, this is great. And I literally watched it like 5 times in a row last night before I fell asleep. I woke up again at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
Watched it 2 more times on my phone.
We're going to put it on again as soon as we stop recording. Yeah.
And last night, it's actually been amazing to watch it go. I mean, I know this is happening because I literally watched it probably 10 times in a 12-hour period. Yeah. Right? So it went from like last night, 600,000 views to before we started recording, it was 6 million.
Yeah.
So we'll check after. But like it's happening where it's like I'm watching it. I have to watch it again. I'm literally telling my friends to watch it. It's such a like you need to see this so we can like experience this together.
Yeehaw, this music video done gone viral. We're gonna pick them up real good.
That's right. What character was that?
That was
Oklahoma City Thunder.
I just saw Rampage over the weekend.
Oh.
And so that was my Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the cowboy in that movie. He plays a cowboy who's a government agent from OGA. Have you ever heard of the OGA?
No.
It's other governmental agencies.
Wow.
Which just means the shadow cabal.
I bet government. You like that movie, though.
It was so bad.
Oh, really?
It was so bad.
That's a shame.
I enjoyed myself because it was dumb.
Uh-huh.
But it was a shit movie.
I like the video game.
The video game's great. I have such fond memories of playing Rampage on the Nintendo Entertainment System at the Boyer's house when I was a kid. Upstairs.
Shout out to the
attic.
Boyers.
Shout out to the Boyers. Neil, Jeanette.
Becky.
Jeannie.
Elijah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Becky and Elijah. Rest in peace. truly good Rampage memories. The movie is... just a completely separate idea from, you know, the canon of the Rampage video game, of course, which is where humans grow into
these
animals.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And instead it's animals grow into more animals.
You eat ambulances to get health and all that.
To be fair, that happens in the movie. They eat people to, like, can I give a spoiler alert for a shit movie that no one should go see? So, one of the main bad guys gets eaten by George.
The white gorilla.
Albino gorilla,
huh.
Who is as chill of a giant angry gorilla as there exists. He's such a cool cat, just like hand signing to the rock. One of the most awful decisions in this movie is to have, instead of there just being subtitles when they're doing sign language, having the rock say everything that both he and the gorilla are signing, right? Because like, oh, you want food? And then he's doing the signing. It's great because of how silly it is as a scenario. Because, but like, put some subtitles on there so that we can like respect that it's a different language.
Also, gorilla signing a... somewhat controversial subject.
Interesting.
With Coco the gorilla.
Yeah. Coco sad.
There is controversy about whether or not she actually knows what she's doing.
Got it.
And how much coaching is involved.
Coco sad.
Yeah, that's right. How do you feel about... So we don't know what the score is right now for Jazz Rockets.
Do you think
they can tie it up?
I have to hope that they can. I think that they'll be better than they shit the bed last... They shit the bed last game.
Eastern Conference Series... Do you think either team can win a game?
I think that, yes, both teams can win a game. I think that the Sixers will. I think that the Raptors will not.
I would love it. I would say, if I believed in God, which I don't, because why would a God let the Raptors go down 3-0?
Because Canada is not a country of God like America.
If I, that one thing I would ask him to do would be to have the Raptors come back from 3-0 and win the series.
All right, Jimmy Stewart, we're gonna put it up to the big boss.
That would be great in so many ways.
Yeah.
It would be a wonderful thing to always say back when someone says 3-1.
3-0. Yeah. And it's not just the San Jose Sharks anymore. It's a real basketball team instead of just happening in hockey all the time.
Now, the thing is, like I said before, the margin of error is so small.
So razor thin.
Because honestly, a player like J.R. Smith can go off for 30 points.
Yeah.
So the likelihood...
Kevin Love, 35 and 15.
So the likelihood of them not doing it for 4 games in a row is very small. And a million other random factors.
Yes.
However, if the Raptors could win this next game and then go home and win the next game...
Yeah, and then
it's 3-2.
And then go on the road and win the next game.
Well, then there's an...
And then if they go on back home and they win the next game,
they can probably even
win the game after that. Because they'll have more games.
They might be able to win that series 5-3.
Honestly, that would be pretty impressive.
No, what I'm saying is, like, if they can win one game.
Bucks and six.
Win one game in Cleveland and then rest on their home court advantage and win another game, then the amount of pressure on that game 6 would be fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you want to see LeBron come out and choke, and I want you to get that. I want you to have that in
your life. I know I'll get it in the finals.
Okay. I mean, you can't choke when you're down 3-0.
That's right. I mean, I just like I still there is no way they will beat the Rockets or the Warriors.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about that.
OK.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So here's what's coming up. I'm going to Orlando.
Ooh, you got a big old trip.
I'm going to direct a play there.
Heck yeah.
And so we're going to be recording remotely.
That's right.
Which means all of this beautiful sonic fidelity that you're getting right now, how luscious and rich our voices sound.
Stick with us. We're going to be awful.
We'll be going away.
Yeah.
We're probably going to sound like we're on Skype.
Yes.
But we're not going to let that stop us from giving you our uninformed opinions.
Oh, we have such uninformed opinions that we're ready to throw at you from across
this
a country. 3,000 miles away.
Yeah. This is what's great about the NBA pundit world, though.
Yeah.
Is we can literally watch 10 minutes of a game, come up with a hot take, and our opinions are not any less accurate than guys who it's their full-time job.
Hey, hire me.
I'm just saying, like it's not like there's like who can you point to being like this guy calls it right all the time? This guy never gets the rug pulled out from under him by the Raptors or whatever, or that kind of stuff. Like, it just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. And here's the thing. I let the Raptors pull the rug out from under me this time, and I'm never doing it again. Raptors in 7, okay? It's fine.
If the Raptors win in 7, I will buy you one of those Brooklyn Nets jerseys.
Wow. Man, $20 on eBay. Big, big ticket.
Oh, I thought you wanted a real one.
I want the Swingmans. The Swingmans are the middle.
How much does that cost?
This one cost me $30.
Well, then what's something more impressive I could buy you?
Dwayne Wade Heat City Edition.
Okay. I will buy you a Dwayne Wade Heat City Edition if the Raptors... This is just give you more to root for.
Okay. Oh, man. I'm so excited to have my dreams dashed tomorrow.
I mean, I guess it's not much of a promise.
No. But you know what? It is a promise and it means something. I appreciate that. That means a lot to
me. We'll put it on, Instagram.
Great. Yes.
Dwayne Wade Heat City Edition.
Yes.
Everyone.
Miami Vice.
Get ready for Casey to not get that.
I'm not going to get it. I'm excited.
All right. We'll see you next time. Next time you hear us, we'll be coming from separate cities.
Wow. We'll see you then.
And also email us at Rule of Threes Podcast.
Yeah. Send us an email. We want to read some email.
Yep.
You know, if you got something to say, if you think you're not getting shouted out enough, if you have hot takes that you want us to weigh in on.
Yeah. Boyer's family.
Yeah, do it.
Get in touch.
Do it.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye.